So, istagosti. You've heard that term before? Istagosti? Yes? Do you know what it means?
During gospel, there are question answers.
Okay. Question and answers. So, rather than a class on Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam or some scripture, what I'm going to do this evening is take you through a just sharing experience of what the GBC members are trying to do to while we're still around. Meaning there's a number of very elder and growing older each year GBC members who are thinking to not continue doing this forever, and then some plan for succession and trying to leave behind us systems and structures and, you know, untangling some of the complex situations that will help the next generation give leadership to our society. So you know how I move around and move around and move around like a jumping beam? Well, I just got through spending 24 days in one place. Every day, attending meetings all day. And some people can do that. And some people have a hard time doing that. And I'm one of them. That this body is not suited for that. Uh-huh. So, I'm going to slowly take you through how we conduct our meetings, at least the multiple parts that I've taken part in. And there's some that I haven't taken part in, but I'll share what I have. Everyone has their service. His parents have a lot of service to do. So I'll begin with reading how we begin our meetings. Commonly is at the very beginning, we ask everyone, oh, look at this. You have it. You printed it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I don't have to read it from my computer. Just set it down, please. We ask everyone in the room, whoever is there, to, you know, complete silence, complete attention, because we're here together to serve our founder, Acharya, and we're going to hear from him. So undivided attention, please. And we'd wait like 30 seconds until everyone's no rustling of papers or side conversations, so full attention. Imagine you are in the presence of our founder Acharya, and he wants to pass on to you some instructions how you can carry on this international society that he began in a seed form, gave principles how it could go forward, and he wants you to take responsibility to carry it forward. So these are compiled by Lakshmi Moni, to give her the credit, and she has done it in different sections. So this is a section called Lord Chaitanya's Mission and Mercy. Our mission is, Lord Chaitanya's mission is, to teach everyone how to love God, that's all. Today the world has become a hell because of an excess of atheists, and this is due only to the preaching of Mayavad philosophy by enemies of the Supreme Lord. Lord Chaitanya's mission is to save the jivas from the clutches of these offenders. So, I'm especially proud how my householder disciples are preaching Lord Chaitanya's mission. This is a new thing in the history of the Sankirtan movement. In India, all the acharyas and their descendants later on acted only from the man's side. Their wives were at home because that is the system from old times, that women are not required to go out. But in Bhagavad Gita, we find that women are also equally competent, like the men, in the matter of Krishna consciousness movement. Please, therefore, carry on these missionary activities and prove by practical example that there is no bar for anyone in the matter of preaching work for Krishna consciousness. We are thoroughly instructing both men and women how to preach. And actually, they are preaching wonderfully. Both men and women are preaching the gospel of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna with redoubled strength. It is a principle that a preacher must strictly follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Shastras, yet at the same time devise a means by which the preaching work to reclaim the fallen may go on with full force. Krishna Katha is the only remedy for all people of the world because it can situate one in pure Krishna consciousness of the self and liberate one from material bondage. To preach Krishna Katha all over the world, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya, is the greatest missionary activity. And all sensible men and women of the world may join in this great movement started by Lord Chaitanya. These boys and girls have given up all intoxication, but they are now intoxicated with Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna! This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A draft board officer came to see one of our centers. He said, "What is this facility that you have given these boys who have joined the Hare Krishna movement? It must be much easier than the army." But when he investigated, he saw that these boys and girls are prohibited from engaging in illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling. So he concluded this movement is actually harder than the army. The army doesn't make such restrictions, which are very, very difficult to follow. But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these boys and girls are following them. Every human being should accept the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the purport of the verse Rupa Goswami offered to Lord Chaitanya upon seeing him. Namo Mahavadanyaya. You are the most munificent incarnation of God. Why? You are distributing Krishna prema, love of God. People do not know what God is, yet you are distributing love of Godhead. Intelligence to serve him nicely. This is not connected. Well, so the page missing. Krishna is not ungrateful, but rather he sees all our efforts and appreciates our sincere service. Krishna is interested in how we engage our energies in his service. We are very small, very insignificant. So what can we do? Simply he wants to see that we are engaging our time and energy in his service. Always remember to abide by the laws of Krishna as described by his bona fide representative, and the passage of going back to Godhead is assured. This is Krishna's mercy. But pure devotees do not even want to go to Krishna's abode. Simply our prayer should be, my dear Krishna, please remind me to always chant your holy name. Please do not put me into forgetfulness. You are sitting within me as Super Soul. So you can put me into forgetfulness or into remembering you. So please do not put me into forgetfulness. Please always remember me. Remind me to chant. Even you send me into the hell, it doesn't matter, just so long as I can always chant. Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are singing one very nice song in which they were requesting everyone to please chant Hare Krishna and come along with them. So that is our request to everyone. And then we begin our day's activity with each morning. Because I'm your, and I've got my GBC hat on. See, GBC. Governing Body Commission. Did you know where that term comes from? It comes from the India railway system. Prabhupada borrowed the name from the India railway system to designate those persons who he wanted to collectively continue directing the affairs of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He established the idea in writing in the early 70s, then again, you know, a directive to all temples, then again in 72, then again in 75, there was the first GBC meeting. Prabhupada sat around the table and he raised his hand along with everybody else to show us how to do. And in the first resolution that was passed was formally establishing the GBC. And then he continued after that because he wanted, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted, a collective group of persons. Not because the classic standard is in an ashram when Guru would reside, and before his passing he would designate a successor. But Srila Prabhupada did something according revolutionary historically, but according to the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then our acharyas and Bhaktisiddhanta and so on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That is, every town and village. So that was his wish. And to maintain and support that worldwide entity, he needed worldwide representation. So that was the GBC. Keep the door open for air circulation because it's a little stuffy in here. Bandri Narayan Swami likes to tell the story. I've heard it about 15 times. One time, Prabhupada was visiting in Detroit. And every morning, they would drive in a car to go to a park from the temple. And Prabhupada was looking out the window. And at a certain, it was just like, you know, if you've been to Detroit, the kind of run-down little shops. One after the next, after the next. And passing a certain block, every morning Prabhupada would say, ah, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, like in a very deeply satisfying tone. Then he said it again, and said it again, and said it again. And finally the devotees asked him, Prabhupada, what are you seeing? And out the window he saw a little hardware store. And the big sign in the hardware store was a Sherman Williams paint sign. Sherman Williams, a brand of paint. And the way that they show their logo is a bucket tipping and covering the world with paint. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Cover the world with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the holy name. So the GBC, you've heard this probably from me before, but in 2007, well, it started in the summer of 2006, several very senior GBC members left this world. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada's disciple Sridhar Maharaj, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and it kind of happened in reasonably close succession. And so our chairman at the time, GBC chairman, was Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj from Germany. And he started discussing with some of the other devotees, you know, how long are the rest of us going to be on the planet? And should there be something that we're doing today before we're all gone that will help make the International Society for Krishna Consciousness stronger and better and, you know, ready to hand over to the next generation of leaders? So he got together a few people and they said, yeah, we should. So we held a special meeting. It's within our rules and regulations, like our bylaws, that say the GBC must hold an annual meeting, but they may hold some special meetings. So it was a special meeting of the GBC to discuss this. And it was in a really nice place, Villa Vrindavan in Italy in the summer. Really fantastic. Lots of pizza and pasta and, you know, fake prasad. And it was 3 days. So I'm just very quickly, the first day, there was a question. You know, aside from our zonal responsibility, is the GBC supposed to be doing something globally as well as locally? Everyone said, yeah, sure. So then, you know, after some of that, we went around and said, okay, each person speak, and what is that which we're supposed to be doing? And it was very clear that we didn't have a clue what we're supposed to be doing. We knew we're supposed to be doing something, but we weren't doing it. We didn't even know what to do, although we're supposed to be doing something. And I know I didn't sleep that night. I mean, literally, I didn't sleep that night, and probably several others also. So the next day was much nicer. I said, okay, let's do some brainstorming. You know how you do this with brainstorming, flip charts, and we don't evaluate anything. We just say something. What should we be doing? And we filled up like 25 of those big flip chart pages. That was a pretty good list. And we put them on the wall and then divided them into groups, you know, and we ended up with 7 or 8 groups. We should have a constitution. Prabhupada wanted a constitution. We don't have one. So there was a constitution committee formed. Then we need succession. People are leaving. What's the plan to look after, you know, the succession? And then those people that take those places, what's our succession plan? So another group of devotees worked on that. Devotee care, real important. So a group of devotees worked on devotee care. And several other things. One of them that all of you who are either not yet initiated or first initiated will be obliged to read a document that describes lines of authority. So here's the question that the GBC felt we really need to address, this question. when Prabhupada was present, there was one authority. He was the managerial authority and spiritual authority. He was the Supreme Court, the President of the United, the President and the legislative body. He was everything. He was the last word. And then, after Prabhupada left, he had established this governance structure, the GBC at the head of it. But then over here, there's gurus and spiritual masters of different descriptions, Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru. And they have spiritual authority, natural, scriptural spiritual authority. So now we have, this authority and this authority. And go out over time, if we don't address these lines of authority and how they harmonize together, we have a big problem in a worldwide society. We already have. So what to speak of as it grows. So then there became a lines of authority committee. It's a really strong devotees wanted to be part of that. And they produced this document. It took like 6 years of writing and getting feedback and refining and refining and refining, and now it's like a document that anyone that is going to be initiated, first or second, must, among many things, read this document and understand it. Now, so it went further. Now there's a disciple course. Is anybody here not familiar with that disciple course? Should I explain it? I'll explain it. This came about through our strategic planning also. One of the pieces of this disciple course is that, reading and going through this lines of authority paper. But there's so many other things. So a group of 15 educators sat together for 5 days and put together the idea of curriculum. Some persons wrote the curriculum. And then now this is something the GBC is doing. It's an ISKCON law now that as of Janmashtami 2015, because it took several years to make sure that the course is translated into all the languages of the world. There's a lot of languages in the world. And that there were teachers who could teach the course. So by Janmashtami 2015, anyone who will be first or second initiated must first take this course. Some of the devotees in the room are now, did you take the teacher training course? So are now ready to, certified to teach the course. To help improve the standard going out over time, another committee was formed later. So those committees that met this, we formed committees at the midterm meeting, or this summer meeting, 2007. We decided that every year thereafter there would be strategic planning carved out of our GBC meetings for 3 days. And then it became 4 days because another one was team building. If we're going to work collectively, globally, we need teamwork because we're all leaders. Leaders need to know how to work together as teams. So team building became another. So that continued, and now it's like we have two meetings a year, not just an annual meeting in Mayapur, but there's a midterm meeting, and it's been going on now for 5-6 years. Sometimes at Juhu, sometimes at Tirupati. Next, we're going to be going to the Govardhan Echo Village that has really lousy internet, but fantastic accommodation. They have to fix that problem. They're going to have some GBC members on their case. So we can come together and continue with our strategic planning and so forth. So one of the exercises that we did was we asked the question, how many centers are there today? Well, we don't really know. We have an idea. So then the idea is that there's something like 600 with deities. And then there's all the other places without deities and so many other things worldwide. So in 30 years, are we still going to have 600 or are we going to have more?
More.
How many more? Let's say 1,200, just like, you know, take a nice number. How are we going to govern that? What's the structure going to look like 30 years from now or 50 years from now? Are we going to just keep adding GBC members and, you know, have fill up a football field with a GBC meeting and have, you know, 250, 500, whatever it is, GBC members? That's not practical. What's practical? So we explored that. And then, so it took us some time to go through the subject. But, you know, the thought was to have a sensible meeting, good number, maximum number is 33 to 40. Minimum 33, maximum 40. So we decided that. And then, okay, right now we have 33 GBC members and maximum 40 to cover the world. Now, we did another exercise. So what evolved was another group, which I'm part of, and I just, for the first 4 days that I was there, was part of a group called Organization Development Committee. I'm just sharing with you one out of a portfolio of about maybe 150 things that we're working on. Slowly. Slowly. We spend time on one and then massage it a bit and then some action items and then go to the next one. So here was an exercise that the entire GBC was asked to do by the Organization Development Committee. All you devotees in Europe sit together. The GBCs from North America sit together. The GBCs from China sit together. GBCs from Africa sit together. And come up with here's a map of Africa. How many realistic regions or geographic regions based on, you know, language and culture and so many things, so many variables, that's manageable, a region that's manageable. And it took some time, but there's now 155 regions. 155 regions, do the math. Supposing there's 40 GBC members, we don't have 40, but supposing there's 40, and some of them, we also decided, they will not have zones, they'll just be ministers or, you know, have some special portfolio of service, they don't necessarily have to oversee zonal responsibility. So let's say the number is 36 GBC members and 155 regions or zones. To oversee the work needed to make sure that the entire world is covered, we need somebody working under those GBCs. And Prabhupada had said, a GBC may have any number of secretaries to assist him. So, you know, decisions don't happen quickly. That's probably good. They happen painfully slowly sometimes. But we came up with a name. Boy, it was difficult coming up with a name that kind of worked. So it's called a zonal supervisor. And then to train, because we want to populate 155 spots with zonal supervisors, we want to train those people, because isn't that novel, train somebody? When I became GBC, nobody trained me. I just was tossed in the pool and said, I hope you can swim. When I became the GBC chairman, nobody told me how to be the GBC. What you were supposed to do? Just jump in the pool and hope you can swim. So we're doing things a little different now. We're having some training. And I've been part of, so that's part of this Organization Development Committee, and then there's a sub-committee of that, because that's Organization Development Committee is a committee of the GBC. Then a sub-committee of that is Organization Development. Then there's another committee called Succession. And then there's another committee called Guru Appointments Committee. So put those three together, and those three, you know, it was like, eight of us spent a lot of hours planning an education curriculum and teachers and a college. Krishna's arrangement, one man in India, somewhere in Madhya Pradesh, decided he wanted to give $3-4 million to build a college for the GBC. So that's being built, and while it's being built, the first set of classes are being held just now with a curriculum of, you know, super awesome group of teachers on a set of curriculum which we worked on, our little succession, organization development, and this is GBC Appointment Committee. So we gave it a nice acronym, SOA, Appointment Committee. Everything's got to have an acronym nowadays. So, and there's now a formal corporation. You know, the president, the department head of University of California in Irvine that deals with this topic, he's the dean of this college. And then there's directors of the college and advisors to the college and a curriculum, and you'll be happy to hear about 95% of the training is not in classrooms. Because classroom is good, but it's the application. So rather than go through the details of what the structure of that training is, it's getting its test drive right now. Nityananda Pran is there from Chicago. Nityananda from Dallas is supposed to go, but he couldn't go because of some obligation in Dallas, so he's going to go next year. Some devotees from Poland, some devotees from all over the world. There's 30 devotees, one from Guyana that I know, and, you know, so 30 devotees, leaders, are being trained as potential zonal supervisors to populate the zonal supervisor thing, structure. And they will then work under GBCs. And their service will be to do all the zonal work without having to go to these wonderful meetings. Some don't like these wonderful meetings. They don't mind doing the zonal work, but they, you know, these zonal meetings are... So they don't have to go to the meetings, but they do the work and they report to a GBC who sits at those meetings and makes, you know, decisions for global work. So that was a major accomplishment, because some of those people will, some of them won't become zonal supervisors, and some of them will become GBCs in course of time. But, you know, they're getting some training first, and then some supervision, and then perhaps become GBCs. So, 4 days of, this is my 24-day schedule. I'm just describing it to you. Organization development, planning, what structures are needed for making a stronger, better society for the next generation. What systems, what policies, what standards, you know, just like visionary things. But practical, very, very, very practical. So rather than giving the inventory list of our 200 or 150 things, we meet morning till night. And then immediately following that was another acronym, SGGS. This is the second one. Sannyasis, Gurus, and GBC Sangha. Because over here we're doing all this, so those different groups that I mentioned that started in 2007, there were 7 of those groups, now there's 30 of those groups. On all different types of, you know, preserving of the arts and culture, establishing self-sufficient rural communities, and, you know, practically anything that anybody could think of, or, you know, that a group of people could huddle around and work on, It's there. And so 2 years ago, we invited our sannyasis and gurus who aren't GBC to come and check it out, see what we're doing, and help us improve it. You know, like, we want your feedback. We want a good product. We want to really serve our society. And the response was, wow, this is the first time we've been formally invited to, you know, be part of what the GBC is doing. Thanks. We feel really good about it, the way that the meeting was conducted. And so, this was number two. The sannyasis of ISKCON, all the sannyasis were encouraged to come, and gurus who aren't GBCs, and the GBCs. So there was an assembly of somewhere between 150 and 200 of such persons gathered together, and that was for 3 days. Children are children. Nothing wrong at all. So the person who facilitated our gathering was one of your dear devotee friends, Vrajabihari. And Vrajabihari had invited one of his colleagues who does similar work for the government. And he just happened to be in India, so he agreed to come, and he spent 3 days. This man that was with us, Vrajabihari, told me on the side, he gets $600 an hour to do what he was guiding Vrajabihari to do. When he worked for the government, he said they pay him only $300. That's how he knows him from the government. Vrajabihari has become so qualified that the person that he answers to, like the boss that he reports to, is the Secretary of the Interior. He's like number two echelon behind the Secretary of the Interior. Vrajabihari is really qualified. He's humble. You know, you don't see, you know, pride and ego hanging all over the place from him. But he's really, really, really qualified. He's up there. So, the first day, we covered four things in 3 days. One, where has ISKCON been up till today? And we filled up the walls with you know, things. And it was done where we got into groups. We, you know, some common and then some groups discussing different things. Which was really nice because then I got to meet devotees I didn't know. It was really fantastic. I mean, one session that was especially fantastic was sannyasis from Africa. So they kind of sat together because they knew each other, so I sat with them. And, you know, when we had an opportunity, you know, what's it like being a sannyasi in Africa? What are the challenges that you meet? What are the opportunities that you face? Is it tough or is it easy? And then, just learning what their experience is was really, really, really nice. And, you know, friendships. That was part of the plan of bringing everybody together, because going into the future, we really need to work together. Not just we're doing something and they're doing something and they're doing something and we're not working together. The purpose of how we did what we did was to help that synergy, build relationship building and appreciating one another. So, where have we been? Where are we now? And then the picture showed all this diversity, so we spent a whole other session on unity and diversity, which Prabhupada said the GBC should come together annually and discuss unity and diversity, so we did. And then the next final was, where do we want to go? What would we like ISKCON to be? Because we could have started there, but, you know, we didn't. We did the other things first. And then, you know, so there were headliners. You know, some wanted purity. It was a big group that wanted purity going into the future. So we had to break that into two groups. And then others wanted, you know, empowerment of others. And others wanted accountability of our leaders and, you know, different things they wanted. So they got together and discussed those things and how, you know, what it might look like and how we might get there. All of that was assimilated, you know, gathered on, you know, these big charts and recordings and so forth. So now the group, the strategic planning group, is going to gather all that together and invite the sannyasis, gurus, and GBCs to come together in a couple of years and take it another step. And one of the things that came out of that gathering was some more time just like discussing spiritual topics together, please, besides just, you know, planning a better future. Let's have good sangha now. It'll strengthen relationships. Anyway, so that was agreed upon. Very nice experience. Awesome experience. Very important for the future of our movement. A worldwide, global movement that has people that don't even know each other. Now we, you know, starting to know each other and plan our future together. It was really good. And then, the next day was our first day of GBC meetings. The others wasn't GBC meetings yet. It's just, you know, warm up. That was 7 days. So now day eight was in the morning. The BBT makes their presentations. The first thing we do in our GBC meetings. So the main message from that, like 2 hours, was all of our GBC members should make goals. Establish the systems to meet those goals within their zones and report it to a person who's going to gather all that information. Because we want, if our leadership gives attention to this primary activity that Srila Prabhupada wanted, the distribution of his books, it will move forward. Our leadership has to lead it. Not just, you know, tell me what the scores were, but have nothing to do with the leadership of it. And then another big section was we had some preliminary voting system. So now the way the GBC works today, it's going to modify a little bit, but for the past 12 years, there's been a group called deputies, you know, geographic representation around the world, senior devotees, who come together for, you know, 8 days. They receive the proposals that people make for the GBC to vote on, and they process them. They evaluate them. They do this plus, minus, and interesting PMI. And then they have their own vote, and they make some recommendations to the GBC. They pre-digest it and give their feedback, and then we discuss them. The thought, because what came up in the meeting, is these devotees have been doing this so nicely, we're thinking, just let them do it. So we can contemplate other things that are needed besides, you know, the resolutions and, you know, proposals and what becomes resolution. There were some other reports that came that first day. And then, day number 8, 9, 10, and 11, was strategic planning. So strategic planning is what started in 2007 has now grown to 25, 30 different groups. And this is now not just GBC, it's a whole group of people. Like the most popular one is devotee care. There's like 25 of people around the world that are really interested in seeing standards and systems for devotee care. And they followed, well, the person who's leading that activity is two, Gopal Bhatta and Kaunteya, they're co-chairs. And Gopal Bhatta said, we've done some, you know, expressed the things that have been accomplished so far, but then also expressed, we're not getting the kind of results we should be getting. So therefore they adopted a system, they introduced a system that's how you get things done, practically, you know, in the real world. And the incentive, besides getting things done, was if you show that you have a really good plan and you have a need for a budget, we'll supply a budget. Now, maybe you don't know, but in case you don't know, would you like to guess what the annual budget for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, with 600 centers over the world to take care of our global work? Would you like to guess? Does anybody have a hint of an idea? Our global budget?
Some crores.
I don't know what a crore is. It's less than $100,000.
Yeah, I heard it was around 65,000.
It was 70, and now we kind of bumped it up and bumped it up. It's now around 100. For the globe, the world, everything. So, for the strategic work, one devotee, Gopal Bhatta, came up with an idea, and that was, he bought some land, you know, worked it out with the Mayapur leadership. Some land was purchased, and on that land some apartments were built, and persons who purchased an apartment get an apartment, and they also get an opportunity to contribute something for our strategic work. So now there's a budget that can help the people that are doing the strategic work if they have a good plan. It's like, wow, we never had budgets before. Just everything was, you know, without any funding. So that was really nice. 4 days of strategic planning. And then our GBC meeting began. Day two of the GBC meeting. So now we're already at, you know, day 13. And we had 5 days of GBC meetings. And I'll just list some of the things that were presented. One is, we need a hospital in Mayapur. It's growing and growing and growing, and there is inadequate, practically negligible medical care. So Madhavananda, who's the director of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, came and made a presentation on a vision. He wasn't asking for anything other than blessings, you know, to establish a hospital down the road from, you know, just off the main core area of the project, a hospital. That's really important for development of Mayapur. And then, not chronologically, but the TOVP, Temple of Vedic Planetarium, made a presentation. And it was awesome. You saw the little video clip, but you know they had a longer one, which they showed the GBC, and then they brought in their staff, the artisans and the architects and the designers of the planetarium and the scholars, and you know I felt like this is going back to Prabhupada's days when he was doing these things. You know, he had a group of artists that built the fate museums, and the artists that did the paintings, all these paintings for the BBT. And they've just because there's like this lightning rod of activity that Prabhupada wanted, all these people with amazing talent, I mean, amazing talent, that just showed us in this video. Do you have a copy of that video? I'll give you. So you can show that everybody at some point in time. Anyway, they brought everybody out, and they introduced this one, he did that, and that one did that. And they took us to the TOVP. You know, it's the superstructure. I'm learning these terms. I don't know what superstructure means, but superstructure means before you put the cladding on and, you know, the plumbing pipes. And so the structure, like the skeleton, the bare bones. So we went into the temple room, and the floor of the temple room can accommodate, I think it's 6,000 people. And then there's balconies up above in three layers, because it's a big dome, can accommodate another something, 5,000. So at any time they can have 12,000, 13,000 people. And they showed us, you know, scale models of the planetarium, where the escalators can go, the elevators can go, where the deities are going to go, and they wanted our comments. The deities level was too low, it needed to be higher because people are going to be standing, you have to see over the heads of people so you can see the deities. And, you know, different things. The materials of the planetarium. Oh! I was going to show something. Yeah, I was going to show something. I forgot. But I don't even have it. I don't even have it with me. I don't think I have it with me. So we can't show it. We can't show it.
Is it on the web, Mark?
Huh?
Is it on the web?
I'll just give it to you and you show it another time. It's an animated video presentation of what the planetarium model will look like. And it's moving parts. You know, from the lower, you know, all the way up to Goloka Vrindavan. So the plan is that the dome will have stairways that you can go up and up. So you look out horizontally and you see, oh, there's Swargaloka. Oh, there's Mahaloka. There's Dhruvaloka. Oh, there is Vaikuntha. And on the outside perimeter of the dome is going to have presentations that you press a button and it tells you what's out there. You know, the structure of the universe, according to the Vedic picture. And the whole thing is going to move. So they were sharing things with us like, you know, we originally designed the dome to bear the weight of 30 tons of this planetarium. But we found some other materials and now it's down to 2 tons. Only 2 tons of, you know, stuff that's showing the structure of the universe. And it's really pizzazzy, you'll see when you see the video. And then, you know, the progress that they've made is awesome. It took longer to complete the superstructure than they had projected, which means the materials costs then have risen. That's, you know, 10 to 12% in India for materials cost increase. But they're still they're within budget, $30 million to complete the superstructure. And then they only need another $30 million to do the rest. And that doesn't include all the exhibits. The exhibits are something else on top of that. So they made an appeal. We'd like to visit. They already received approval from temples in North America to fundraise in North America, all of our temples. They won't be visiting St. Louis just now. They'll do it sometime later. But they made their first presentation, so yeah, in Alachua, and there's not wealthy people in Alachua. These are like, you know, old folks' home in Alachua, and they raised $850,000 in pledges. Wow. And Mukia said, I had no idea that our people had that kind of money. And because it was done over some period of time, some years, that they could complete their pledge. Ramabhadra's comment was, that's really a bad idea. They should pledge what they have and that's it. Not like continue to take from the temple. So just saying this, so you're aware that that's not a good idea when they come to St. Louis. Just what people can give, that's it. And a class was given. This is just like some news. A class was given, as every morning. I've been sending out some of the classes. So one morning it was a class of 4 speakers. Bhakti Chumar spoke, Gopal Krishnamar spoke, Pragosh, who is the assistant chairman of the TOVP, and now our GBC chairman, and Jai Patakumar. He spoke for like an hour or more. And at the end of that class, they have a little modest structure at the corner of the TOVP project, and pledges came for $556,000 just from the pilgrims in 2 days. And the total amount pledged during the whole festival time was 1.3 million. So, who knows what's going to happen in North America when they go to big cities, and because Ambarish is going to the larger cities. Janani Vas, some of you don't know who he is, but he and his twin brother are head pujaris in Mayapur. He's never left Mayapur. He just served Radha Madhava in Mayapur. His brother has gone, but he hasn't. But he's now traveling. He's like as humble as you can imagine. And he's carrying with him the shoes of Lord Nityananda. And you know, so it's an enthusiasm. It's a wave of enthusiasm to help complete the TOVP. Then there was some discussion about the ISKCON 50th celebration. What that means is, in July of 1966, Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON. So 50 years later is 2016. So starting so there's a global committee looking in providing banners and logos and, you know, some core stuff. There's two films being produced. One is a public film, you know, for the public consumption, not devotee audience, put together by Yadubar. It's got a hefty budget, but they're planning to release that in the ISKCON 50. Just Acharya is the title. It's nice. And then there's another one that's What is ISKCON? Like a documentary about what is ISKCON. And that, you know, is going to be... So they're doing... The global is doing things, and they're asking the continents to make a plan and the temples to make a plan. So you should all be making a plan. There's a North American group doing, you know, with Anandavardhana knows because it came from the he saw the presentation in Dallas during our January meetings. So there's, we're using the language petals, and so there's something like 6-7 petals, and temples are being encouraged to develop them. So you may not even know what they are, but you know what they are. And, you know, some effort to think of what you should, can be, might be able to do. Because the one big impetus is, in the secular world, when you're around for 50 years, it's a big deal. It'll get media attention. So with media attention, you can then tell people, media will tell people, what is ISKCON? Because lots of people don't know what is ISKCON. And if they know something, it's probably something negative. So, it's a great opportunity. And with that opportunity, more people not only will know about ISKCON, but will probably come and visit and say, you know, come check it out. So, we have the opportunity to receive people and to introduce people and, you know, help people learn more and, you know, grow our... not necessarily grow our congregation. To some degree, that will also happen. But, you know, the people that are in knowledge of what ISKCON is, friends and, you know, informed people instead of misinformed or don't know anything about it people. So it's important. Real important. Opportunity. Seize the opportunity and it'll help things grow. Yeah, there's another project that was reported. In order to serve the devotees who have dedicated their lives to temple service, like Chakri and Divyananda have done, Whether they want to go there or not, it doesn't remain to be seen. But the GBC, Bhadri Narayan Swami, is heading this up, an effort to provide housing for devotees that have dedicated their lives to service, and they will be provided a place in Mayapur to finish off their life and in peace and security. So some temples or regions or whatever will be given the opportunity to purchase some space that then becomes their space, and then they can populate it with whoever they want, qualified people, not just like a guest house to put up your uncle, but people that fit in that position of retired devotees. So retirement enclave, or something like that is being called. Land has been allotted. Plans are being drawn up. And once the plans are drawn up, then some numbers will be sent out for people to say, yes, I'd like a one-bedroom, a two-bedroom, a three-bedroom for our yatra, or our temple, or our something, so that the thing can be built, because the land is already there. We heard another very nice presentation, so I'd like to share that with you, that, again, Madhavananda of the of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital director had this idea of bringing together, because he's respected, and he's using his position, that respected position, to bring the four sampradayas together. So he showed pictures of this acharya and that acharya and the four sampradayas, along with him as the director of the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, to have annual something come together and do something. So the first year is chanting the holy name. So dates and venue and things, they've all agreed. And so he was just asking for blessings. And then the next year, 2016, is honoring the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. And then the next year is the so many, whatever it is, 1,000th anniversary of Ramanujacharya's appearance. And then the next year, something. And the four sampradayas coming together with something that they have some shared vision and appreciation for and agree on, and then come together and do something. So it's not an ISKCON event, but it's a Madhavananda as the organizer event. And they certainly know he's an ISKCON member. And the communications department is keenly interested in this, and so they're helping him to structure how that message will go out. There's a something very important for ISKCON is cow protection, and some of you may know Balabhadra from New Vrindavan. He was the cow protection minister for years. He had very serious health problems. He couldn't continue. Then a devotee from UK at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, they have a really excellent goshal cow protection program, and he was the minister for some time. He can't continue for personal reasons, so now there's co-directors that was established. That's an important item. I don't know these individuals, but they're recognized by our leadership as being qualified. Two other broad topics, and then I think I'll end. Oh, no, I won't. I have to say some other stuff. From that Sannyasi Guru GBC Sangha, the SGGS gathering, the importance of coming together and discussing philosophical topics was very prominent. And the same thing happened at our GBC meeting. Maybe some of you have heard that one of the issues that we've been unable to resolve for ISKCON is, should there be female Diksha Gurus in ISKCON? And we've been at it for 4 years now, and every time we try this method and then take a vote, it's the same split vote. So we decided to put that on hold for a moment and then speak more broadly about Guru Tattva, and specifically spending time on the importance of Shiksha, Guru, role, as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if that Shiksha, Guru, role was more clearly understood and elevated and respected in our society would be stronger, and some of this issue of female Diksha Guru may be very easily placed over there. Let them perform the function of a Shiksha Guru. Why must it be Diksha Guru and round and round? So the discussion was, there's many such topics, like, here's one, Varnashram, Daivi Varnashram. We don't have a clue. Prabhupada spoke about it. He gave it like high importance. There's, you know, many references that indicate that. But we really haven't done anything. And should the GBC give some thought and some leadership to what we should be doing with that globally? So to do that, we need some time. And, you know, lots of time, because it's not a clear issue. So we need some time when we have our meeting. So this is, you know, there was a notion to push some of the work down to others, delegate, and have them, you know, like this deputy group that I mentioned, let them do the work. They're doing great work. And, you know, if they have some question, they can ask us, and otherwise we just basically get a polished diamond at the end of our meetings, or however many they work on. And spend time with long-reaching issues. Anyway, some people say, well, wait a minute, Prabhupada didn't want the GBC to be a deliberative body. They wanted them to practically manage our society. You know how those things, you know, there's different voices in the room. So I'm just giving you a report on how things are going at these nice meetings. And there was a DT ministry report, which is very important because Prabhupada valued DT worship, the standards being maintained. So that was discussed. There's a last topic, was the Shastra Advisory Committee. So from time to time, the GBC had established this group. If we wanted a particular topic to be researched by people who are really good at research, we created this Shastra Advisory Committee. We would ask them, would you like to explore, research such and such topic? Like female Diksha Guru was one that we had in the past asked them to research. Is it something that is appropriate? Is it something that Prabhupada wanted? Anyway, from scripture. So that got reconstituted because it kind of had some tension, and now there are people that want to work together and do that work. There's lots of other things. Now the GBC resolutions will be published after some time. It takes a while because of editing and legal review and so forth, but that should be coming out, and I'll send that around. And then our GBC meeting was over, and then I had another 5 days for my report. I'm a member of the GBC committee, so it's a committee of GBC members that oversee Mayapur. So rather having one GBC for Mayapur or two GBCs for Mayapur, there's a committee of GBCs, and we're working on lots of things, you know, to build the city. And, you know, I don't know a thing about building a city. What does a sannyasi that's just dedicated his life to spreading Krishna consciousness know about building a city? Nada. But there are people that do, and so we're collectively having final authority or authorizing empowerment, but there are many people doing lots and lots of valuable work to help make the master plan, and it's really complex. You know, the education, allotment of land, sewage, electricity, you know, building a city, roads, standards for buildings. And, you know, and then, you know, there's, because there's a lot of people that live there. So, you know, with this little community, you have some management issues. You can imagine in Mayapur. You know, internet, anyways, it's interesting. And that was, you know, 5 days of interesting with the Mayapur GBC, and then the next day I collapsed. So that's just giving you, it's something that GBC members are supposed to be doing, is reporting to the persons that they're serving, so that's what I'm doing. This is some of the stuff that we did to serve the world of ISKCON. I mean, right in the last, for the past 5-6 years, Mayapur has been the number two attended pilgrimage place in all of India. And when the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is going to be built, it'll be number one. And what's our plan? You know, to accommodate the guests, to feed the guests, and, you know, a security for the guests, and, you know, and then the resident devotees, and schools, and agriculture, and self-sufficiency, and education. You know, it's like, it's a lot of work. And so they have, there's a strategic planning group that, you know, they live, mostly they live there in Mayapur, and they're making their strategic plan for this and that, and they present it in a summarized way to the GBC committee, and we review it and make our comments and send it back for revision, and, you know, just 5 days of that. Just this morning, I was editing one of the job description pieces for the co-directors. That was a term that Prabhupada used. So during Prabhupada's time, it was much smaller. There were two co-directors, Bhavananda and Jayavadhaka Maharaj. And now it's much bigger. So there's something like 5 co-directors. And then beneath them are deputy directors, and beneath them are divisional heads, and beneath them are department heads. You know, it's a very complex structure. And then, you know, should we have a mayor? And what about, you know, what about so many things? What about so many things? What about discipline? What about standards? What about child protection? All these things. So if you know somebody that wants to be a GBC member for a while, please let me know. Put your name in a basket and we'll pull out the lucky winner. It's a lot of work. I do it because I understand it's important, and my just all those hours, day after day, my body just doesn't, it's not meant for that. It, you know, it screams. But I, you know, so somehow I survived enough to come back and tell you what we did. And, you know, so in between meetings, then there's, you know, between now and the midterm meeting, there's work that needs to be done to prepare for the midterm meeting. And then coming up in 2016, because that's the first of the centennial year, there'll be another International Leadership Sangha, as there was 2 years ago. And that year it was nearly, it was 950 people attended, leaders from all around the world. Because it's the centennial year, or 50th year anniversary rather, we expect, you know, much more, probably 1,500. And there'll be an 8-day part of our wonderful GBC meeting. 8 days of that is International Leadership Sangha, where different presentations we make by people that populate these 30 different things. And they'll ask GBC members to also present some things. And so there's work between now and the next meeting to prepare for that. Any comments or questions?
Maharaj, so what is going on with inmates preaching?
In which?
Preaching in the prisons. There was some...
Preaching in the where?
Prisons.
Prisons!
Yeah.
Prison ministry.
Yes. That's still active?
Yeah. Yeah. There's... To my knowledge, there's two devotees that are consistently still giving leadership, and they have a network of people all around the world that do that preaching work. Chandramali Swami and Chandrasekhar Prabhu take that service, leadership in that service. Yeah.
Maharaj, do we have any plans to include like members of the church like that? Do we have to like members of the temple, like temple? We have members and then.
I don't know what you're asking. I hope you do.
Defining a member of. Our
defining.
Like who is a member, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like in
sure.
Church, they have like 100 members, 200 members.
Okay.
Members.
Let me respond. I understand your question. with the Constitution Committee, one of those original ones, they did, you know, try to write a constitution and satisfy a bunch of people. That's not easy. They did a great job, except for this one area was who's a member. Constitution for whom? For our members, and who's our members. So they got stuck. So last year, at our GBC meeting, Kaunteya very expertly, you know, took us through an exercise where we agreed on a very broad membership. Now, part of the difficulty with membership was it may come back to bite us if people feel, well, I'm a member, and then they have legal rights as a member. So that was like a sticking point. But fortunately, one of the persons in the room was an international law attorney, and he gave some language that could, you know, like a little disclaimer that goes along with the... So, there's one of the petals of the North American ISKCON 50 plan is to gather names of the members in the U.S. and Canada. Whatever the rest of the world does, that's up to them. Now, we haven't enacted it yet, but it's you know, at this stage, it's just notional. But some mechanism whereby in temples, people can sign up. Or online, people can sign up. And they just, you know, sign their name to something that says, I'm a member. I accept the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, that instructs us or gives us teachings in the loving devotional service to Krishna. And, you know, and then that the representative, it's something with about the GBC, and I accept the GBC, and then the little statement that says, I know this doesn't give me any legal rights to say that I signed this thing. No, it's nice language, but... So, at least U.S. and Canada, you know, hopefully, it would, you know, they would... We were hoping they would do it globally, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But at least U.S. and Canada. And how that's going to be done hasn't been decided. It should be decided... I would guess it should be decided this summer during our meeting in August in Chicago. The North American GBCs come together for that.
Because this is being followed by the Christian churches now.
Okay. We're not a Christian church. I understand what your point is.
Yeah.
We don't have to follow what they're doing because they're doing it. We would like to know what our membership is. We don't know. I asked our communications director, what do you tell people when they say, when they ask you the question, how many members do you have? Do you say, I don't know? That's not a good answer. Anyway, he gave an answer of, I give them the figure of 1 million. And I asked, how'd you get that one? He said, that's how many people come for Janmashtami at the Juhu Temple. 1 million people come to Janmashtami in Juhu in one day. So we have at least 1 million members. Pretty scientific, right? But we would like to know. In fact, I'm making a mental note that we should follow up on gathering for U.S. and Canada that information by some means, or you know, multiple means, or whatever we're going to do. Yes.
Hare Krishna. So, when I was watching Mayapur.tv of your lecture, so I happened to browse through that thing and
that thing.
You know, the TV Mayapur.tv, and I.
That page. That,
yes,
you mean that
page?
Yeah. Okay.
So I came across Radha Jivanadas and Gopalakrishna Maharaj talking about this TOVP.
Yeah.
So they were talking about for the fundraising.
Yeah, of course. That's Radha Jivan. He's in charge. He's not going to talk about anything else but that.
So, they were talking about that coin thing.
Yeah, coin thing. Okay.
Because it sounded so interesting.
Okay. He's going to... They're promoting it all over U.S. and Canada this year. And, you know, the St. Louis hasn't been scheduled yet, but it will be, I'm sure.
So, and also I was just thinking just now, like, is there, like, a restaurant... in Vrindavan, we have a, like MBT restaurant. Like when we came for the Buddha Yatra, so we all stayed in that restaurant, and there is a cafe.
You stayed in a restaurant.
Sorry, what is called
guest house.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
And they have like a, you know.
Yes, something like that is being built. There's when you go to Mayapur, your jaw will drop. There's so much construction going on. All kinds of, you know, people can buy, people can timeshare, people can rent. There's all kinds of things.
Because all the kids doing the Yuti Yatra, they go to for the dinner and after the program. Every day they go and have nice dinner up there. And it's like, I was just thinking about that.
Okay, the answer to your question, don't ask it again, because the answer is yes.
Okay.
Okay. Someone else? Yes.
I have this, I maintain the website for ISKCON here. We have this new ISKCON logo, the white.
You have what?
The white logo.
Okay.
ISKCON logo.
Okay.
And the previous one was the lotus flower kind of thing.
There's two now.
Two now.
One is what's called, there's a term for it. The seal, that's what it's called. A seal. And, you know, it's now registered with the trademark folks in Washington, D.C. That's the seal, and then there's the logo. But what we've been doing is peeling off names from the seal and trying to get those trademarked, too. And some of them have. It's a very complicated procedure. So what was your question?
No, my question was, I'm confused.
Do them both. Both. Every sign should have both. Every flyer should have both. It demonstrates, they're called specimens. It demonstrates to the government you're actually using it. Anything else? Yes?
Maharaj, what's next? Will be a temple built in West Virginia? The Temple of Understanding?
There's a temple. There already is a temple in West Virginia.
This is supposed to be something on the level of the TOPP?
No. I mean, to my knowledge, no. To my knowledge, no. There's a
temple of understanding.
Yeah.
That was the name of it.
Okay. There's a tribute, a memorial shrine kind of temple for Srila Prabhupada that was built kind of ad hoc, you know, without lots of forethought and its maintenance. The Temple of Gold. Have you been to New Vrindavan? Have you seen that place? So their first project is being able to restore that. And they don't have the funds to do that, what to speak of Ilden or something. So I don't know what's on the website. From my position as a GBC member, I can tell you there's no talk about it. There would be talk about it if it was going to happen. But what it is, I don't know. I can't answer your question.
I have a picture that I got out of my Bhagavad Gita book today. So in the morning, I'd like to show it to you.
Well, I can just go to their website and see what their propaganda is. But I'm letting you know, it's not something that has come to the attention of our leadership in North America. Something of that scale.
Okay.
Would. Because New Vrindavan is up in the mountains. Where are they going to get the money? They'd have to get the money from where we have our temples. They're going to have buy-in from our temples if they want money to build something like that. And we haven't been told anything. So, something else? Yes?
POVP project is estimated to complete it.
When?
When?
When they have the money, that's when it will be completed. That's the honest answer. You know, the person, you'll see, when you see the video, the person that's kind of coordinating the construction, his name is Sadbuj. And Sadbuj said, if we had all the money that we need to buy all the materials, we probably could complete it by 2020, and we don't. And materials, you know, marble is going up, and, you know, the Chinese are buying everything. It's all, you know, the Vietnamese marble is now gone, and da-da-da-da-da. So, they need infusion of funds quickly so that the costs don't go up further and further and further. So, let's see what happens from this fundraising. There's some other, you know, possibilities of very large sums of money, but we don't like to, you know, count on that because it may not happen. Without the detail, there's no point in even going into the detail. Some very large sums of money. Very large. Anything else? Yes.
After hearing this, Maharaj, I feel just overwhelmed by how much you're doing for us.
Well, the whole GBC. It's the whole GBC. The whole GBC is doing.
I'm also just amazed how Prabhupada came in 10 or 12 years, and there's going to be so many generations of devotees after him just trying to fulfill his instructions.
Yeah. You have something? No, just stretching. Okay, well, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.